This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 24th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it's relatively inconsequential, that is. Though, first story will probably scare the living daylights out of you. And we've got a number of other things to cover as well. But if you want to call, I hope you will, 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. So, there you have it. Now, I mentioned during the little promo for the show there that you're only as safe as the weakest link in any database in which you appear. And actually, the story that brought it to mind, you're probably not in that database, but I'll get to it in a moment. But here's the deal. I did want to mention that increasingly now, you're hearing stories about people who have lost a fortune due to scammers. And many of these people are otherwise knowledgeable. And the biggest problem, more than anything these days, is the fact that there's something called caller ID spoofing. That's right, any scammer can use a caller ID that belongs to a financial institution where you do bank, for instance. It comes out any way you want. There's randomizers, there's always kind of been that, but now more and more the scammers are using numbers that you recognize as legitimate. Don't believe it for a minute. Firstly, the chances that anyone would call or text you or even email you are fairly nil. But in the event this ever happens, and in some cases with credit cards, you might get an email or something to say, hey, there's suspicious activity. That's fine. Go to the site yourself, the site of the bank or the credit card company. Do not follow a link. Do not call back numbers. Get the information yourself online. This is critical, and it's the one thing that will save you, because all the people who were scammed, the one thing they have in common is they fell for it because they thought it was legit. In this point in time, the only way to know it's legit is if you hang up the phone if they've called, or ignore the email or the text if they've written, and go to the website independently yourself. Do not click on any links whatsoever. And believe me, if you go to the website, let's say you've got a credit card and there is fraud on your activity, when you get there and when you log in as you, you'll see it. And by the way, if you're saying, but I'm never online with anything, that's fine. The back of your credit card has a phone number to call. And if you've got a bank statement, if it's a bank account, the bank statement has a phone number to call. Call it. Do not ever click on a link or ever divulge information from someone who has contacted you. That's the red flag. If they're contacting you, forget about it. Hang up. Call the institution yourself. Now, that's just a word to the wise, because I just read some stories, including one in Chicago, that was just really sad to me because, again, otherwise savvy people who were taken in because of caller ID spoofing. They saw that it came from a number they knew from their credit card and they or their bank, and they divulged. Do not do this ever. All right, so yeah, end of lecture. Now, let's talk about the database you're not in. And that's actually not why I'm talking about it. We'll get to what the problem is. But there's been a big hack. In WorldCheck. Now, WorldCheck, again, you and I are unlikely to be in WorldCheck, though with the help of scammers, I guess you could be. What it is it is a database for financial institution, government officials, diplomats, spies, whatever. of individuals that they will want to be aware, and when they're running a due diligence and they're looking for, say, money laundering, or they're looking for terrorism financing, things of this nature, WorldCheck is the database that's used. And the London Stock Exchange bought WorldCheck in 2021, and from Thomson Reuters. And the interesting thing is that the individual who breached it, GoStar, he actually has been talking to TechCrunch, for instance, and admitting that, yeah, he's got 5.3 million records of thousands of people. Some of them are government officials. Some of them are just organized crime. Some of them are politically exposed, what have you. But the bottom line is that the database, which is meant to use to, you know, weed out things like corruption or bribery, actually has a lot of information. People's names, passport numbers, social security numbers, crypto account numbers, bank account numbers, and more. And so exactly what GoStar is going to do with it, who knows? But what was most interesting about this to me was how it came about. And again, WorldCheck is, you normally think, well, they're relatively secure. Maybe relatively is the operative word. But here is the problem. It was not WorldCheck that was breached. It was an unnamed third party based in Singapore who had access to the WorldCheck database because they were a contractor. And so when you think, well, that database is secure, I can trust those people, remember, the chances are good there's a third party involved in there somewhere. And so that was the deal. And I haven't heard anything else about it, but when I read about unnamed third party, I thought, uh-huh. Well, there you have it. All right. So very often when we talk about these scams, Jay gives us a call from outside of Tucson, Green Valley, Arizona, and he keeps up with it. So, Jay, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
You're all doing good, good. Hey, I'm glad you brought up this point about phone numbers using spoofing.
Yeah.
They can put anything in there. They can say it's a bank. It could be anything.
Yes.
And a lot of times when they call, they'll do like whatever your area code is in.
Right.
They'll call from that area code.
Sure they will. They'll call from a number ostensibly that is your branch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they'll put U.S. Bank. Another scam that we've seen, and I'll put this out again, if people really want to see how scams work without compromising yourself, go on YouTube and look up Jim Browning, B-R-O-W-N-I-N-G.
Uh-huh.
He's been able to get into where the scammers are. They're in Calcutta, India, and Nigeria. Also, another guy, Pleasant Green, who's been able to do it. They go in, and they know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
They download all of their information from their computers, so they have all their data, so we know who they are, where they are, and what they're doing. Yes, they've told law enforcement and goes unheeded. That's all that is. But
yeah.
One scam that they do is, oh, yeah, well, I'm from the bank or whatever. Now, turn your card over, and you see on your card, there's the 800 number for, yeah, well, tell me what the number is, and we're going to call that. So you're calling your security.
Right.
Well, no, they're just calling, and then one of their compatriots picks up the phone and answers as U.S. Bank,
right,
or Wells Fargo Security. So, yeah.
Right, right. Oh, absolutely. The bottom line is if they've contacted you, hang up.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's it. And then I might be repeating myself, but another scam that we're seeing is insurance fraud, it's Medicare fraud.
Oh, yes.
Actually, the scammers are been contracted by insurance agents, independent insurance agents here in the United States. They contract with the scammers because that gets them from underneath the do not call list.
Right.
So they are doing pre-quals for the do not call list for the insurance, for end of life, all kinds of insurance,
yeah,
Medicare, whatever. And they sometimes are able to connect up with an insurance agent who may or may not know that they're using
scam service, of course. Yeah.
Okay. And then you start talking to the insurance agent, but what the insurance agent may or may not know is the scammer is still online in the background.
Oh, absolutely. So, and he's hearing every piece of sensitive information you divulge, starting with your birth date.
And the agents know about this stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it. It's cheap, I guess.
You'll save yourself no matter what it is. Hang up the phone. If you want to contact a financial institution, an insurance company, anything you want, you call them yourselves.
You're right. And you have to also be aware, if you're looking up phone numbers or whatever, or companies on the web.
Oh, it may not be. You're right.
Some of the scammers get a name that's real close or whatever, or a number that's real close.
Right.
And they'll pick up.
And they'll set up websites that have all the logos that you recognize and everything else. No, use your bank statement if you're calling the bank. The phone number's on that. If you're calling the credit card number, use the number on the back of your card. Don't divulge it to anybody. Just use it. And that's really the only blanket way I know to say safe. But now that the caller ID spoofing is going on, a lot of people are being caught unaware.
That's been going on and I hate to use, it sounds like a broken record, but you as well as I know that we hear the stories time and time again of, unfortunately, people being taken.
Oh, yes. Because who normally would keep up with this stuff? And as I said, when I read that the world, the World Check site or industry was hacked due to a third party, that's a big issue.
Yep. Another new term you might not know of is called pig butchering. Ever hear of it?
Pig butchering?
Yeah, pig butchering. Okay. You might be on LinkedIn or Instagram or social media, Facebook or whatever. You might get a hi, how are you message or somebody. And if you're a guy, it might look like a fashionable young lady or a guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And by mistake, they just strike up and try to form a relationship. They'll try and take you off LinkedIn or Instagram or go to WhatsApp or whatever. And they say, oh, yeah, I've got a good friend who's really making a lot of money in Bitcoin.
Right.
Hey, do you want to invest? And you invest and you might make money, but then it's more and more and more. And then all of a sudden they're ghosted. They're up there along with your money.
Of course. Absolutely. You don't get involved with strangers, not in this day and age, period.
Yep.
Always good to hear from you.
Okay. I'm hearing you every night.
Well, great. Call again soon. Appreciate it, Jay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. So we will get to Leah, who had her eye surgery today, you know. Yeah, the one I was operated on. And I can't wait to hear about this. I've had it on my list of things I want to talk about. So we'll find out about that. We'll find out about Sam and Gurney. I believe he's got a birthday request. Yeah, we have an anniversary request that we'll be playing. Not immediately, because I'm going to play a Chan Romero record, and I'll tell you why. You're saying you must be out of your mind. No, there's a story. And sadly, you will hear it. But in the meantime, I know if you listen to this show, you love radio. And if you love radio, you should love the Sea Crane Company. And if you don't know about them, go to ccradio.com. Oh, a world of wonderfulness awaits you. But even if you are aware, you know, there's a new CC Skywave Radio 2 that is out now. And it's a bargain for one thing, not a terribly expensive radio. And it is just terrific. And, you know, the hallmark to everything Bob Crane is involved in is terrific reception, AM and FM. Because years ago when he saw the quality of reception on the current radios, he said, I can do better. And boy, did he. But every one of his radios are more than that. All that and more, I should say. And so you've got AM, you've got FM, you've got the aviation band, which is great for traveling, and it's small enough to fit in the palm of your hand so you can travel with it. And it's got a weather alert and a clock, a timer, 400 presets, and so much more. Plus, if you're traveling internationally, you can tune in 9 kilohertz or 10 kilohertz increments on AM because, you know, in foreign countries, very often they're not spaced, stations are not spaced 10 kilohertz apart, like 560, 570, 580. They're 9 kilohertz, so it'd be like 549, you know, 558, 567, on like that. So you get that as well. And you can fine tune too. So it's got the best of digital, and it is just a terrific radio. Clock, like I say, an alarm, a timer. So it'll be your perfect companion. And when I say improved, there's a number of things improved about it, including a new jack for a shortwave antenna. So when you're wanting to find out more, particularly about the aviation band, you'll pick it up even easier. So you'll get that and so much more. You can go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Skywave 2, the new CC Skywave 2. If you can't go online, you can call them. They've got the best customer service, 888-8, and it's my number. Don't call me. I don't have the best customer service, but I'll talk to you here. But they do, off the air, 800-522-8863. There you go. That's 800-522-8863, which is 800-522-TUNE. Someone is there who will take your call. They will answer your questions. You can order online, or you can just get them to send you a catalog if you want. If you can go online, though, I would go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. You check out the new CC Skywave Radio 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
For goodness sake. Shake, shake with all of your might, and then you shake. Yeah, you shake. Yeah, this ain't no bag. The hippie, hippie shake.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Chan Romero, and we're playing this because, as you might have heard, he passed away. Now, you might not have even heard of Chan Romero. It's a very interesting story, actually. He was a kid growing up in Billings, and he was a budding musician, had a little band with friends, and they were doing nothing, basically. And I guess he was about in the 10th grade, he went and saw Bridge Over the River Kwai in 1957, and in that, a girl says, "For goodness sake." And he just glommed onto that line and later said, "For goodness sake, I got the hippie, hippie shake." And so he wrote it. Took him about 15 minutes to write it. And he was performing it around Billings. And then he went to live for a while with family in East Los Angeles. And he decided that he and his little band would cut a demo of this and send it around. So timing is everything. Because Bob Keane, who had Delphi Records, and that was after Keane Records, and what a fiasco that was, but nonetheless, had Delphi Records, beginning of 1959, of course, you know that story. His Latino teen idol, Richie Valens, was killed in a plane crash. And so, believe me, Bob Keane was looking for a replacement because Richie Valens was doing very well for him. And he heard this demo from Chan Romero and said, "Well, I'll re-record it and release it." And they did. In fact, Earl Palmer was on drums and all that. So it wasn't the demo that they released, but they went and they released it. And of course, if you were listening to the radio in America, you never heard this record. It just flopped. It was number 3 in Australia, and it did very well in Great Britain. So well that the Beatles made it part of their repertoire starting in like 62 or so. And then it later came out 63 on one of those BBC performances that was recorded and saved. And right after that, the Swinging Blue Jeans, a local group in England, recorded it and did well with it there as well. So the interesting thing, though, is that this song has been featured in so many television shows and movies, and of course, more than a few Beatles compilations, and Romero wrote it. So believe me, there's no pity party for how he did financially, because when you write them, yeah, all right. But what I want to tell you coming up next, we're going to break for the news in a moment, and I'll get back to this, but how it almost became the Montana State song. Yes, the hippie, hippie shake. I can just hear it now. All right, so you just did hear it, actually, and you won't hear it again, I promise. We'll pick it up right there in a few moments right here on WGN Radio.
Hovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain falling. Seems I hear your voice calling. It's all right. A rainy night in Georgia. A rainy night in Georgia. It seems like it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. A distant moaning of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Brooke Benton, of course. Rainy Night in Georgia on Cotillion, an Atlantic subsidiary in 1969. And it was Dave and LaSalle who called and said, hey, it's Jeff and Linda's anniversary. Play it for them. So Jeff and Linda, that's for you. Tony Joe White wrote it. And I was going to play the Tony Joe White version, but frankly, I love Tony Joe White. I thought he was great, but you don't want to hear it. So, yeah, Brooke Benton, other than not knowing how to say hovering, just nailed it. All right, now, I want to mention that Hippie Hippie Shake did chart, not by Chan Romero, but when the Swinging Blue Jeans had it out right after the Beatles, they actually charted in the top 30, but it was number 2 in Canada. Yeah, on the Chum chart, I think. And I think it was number 2 in the UK singles chart. So it did very well. And again, Chan Romero did well with it. And it wound up, as I say, being used in movies and TV shows, and whether it was The Men Who Stare at Goats or Uncle Buck or X-Men or Austin Powers or, you know, all this stuff and more, Full House on TV. And so since Chan Romero wrote it, each time that it played, he didn't give up his writer royalties, as far as I know. So he did very well with that. But he was from Billings, and there aren't that many people you can name who were Airset's teen idols, so to speak, even if only for a minute. And so it was that when this came up, I thought to myself, oh man, it's Washington all over again. So let me first revisit that. In 1985, there was a state legislator in Washington who wanted to change the Washington State song from America My Home to Louie Louie. And it, like I said, it was 1985, and it got an amazing amount of support. And the basis for that was because Rockin' Robin' Roberts had played it in Tacoma on KTAC. Never mind, of course, that the Kingsmen had certainly a big local presence. But they had a rally on the steps of the Capitol, and the Whalers and the Kingsmen and the Raiders were all there performing a 30-minute version. And it almost passed. In fact, but then there were others, like the guy from Aberdeen who said, yeah, adopting Louie Louie would be like making marijuana our state plant. I thought, well, and so it was that what they did was a compromise. They decided that Washington My Home would remain the state song, but Louie Louie would be known as the state rock anthem. But now, before it's over, Arlo Guthrie gets in the mix, and there were fans of Roll On, Columbia, Roll On. So that became the Washington official official folk song. I was about to say fight song, but no, that was the Seattle Supersonics. That was years later, I think it was about 2011. They were trying to get rid of Washington My Home again, and this time they wanted Not in Our House by Sir Mix-a-Lot. They thought that would be the state song until such time as the NBA franchise was reassigned yet again. And Oklahoma City. That would have required, I guess, 250,000 registered voters to sign for that, and they got none. However, they got a lot of interest from Louie Louie. All right, so now that's the backdrop, and I remember that so well because I was writing for Billboard at the time in 1985 that stuff was going on. So here we have Chan Romero, and someone in Montana decides that it was Jacob Backmeyer, I think, he was a state legislator, that Hippie Hippie Shape should be the Montana state song. So he introduces a bill in the 2019 legislature, and the bill is priceless. Here's the language. Whereas Montanans shake it to the left and shake it to the right and do everything with all of their might. And then he went on to extol why it needed to be the state song. Needless to say, it wasn't. But it continued to be recorded by a lot of people, certainly through the 60s. It was a Davy Jones of the Monkees, a B-side, and a bunch of, I think, the B-52s or the Georgia Satellites or somebody like that, you know, on and on and on. So again, ka-ching every time that happened, because, you know, if you're on the album, it doesn't matter if you're the hit song or if you're, you know, the last thought of cut on side B, you get the same amount of money. But nonetheless, Chan Romero, 82 years old, is no longer with us. And he, by the way, was the first Latino to be inducted into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. Now, when I had read that, I thought to myself, who's the second? And I'll have to go and look, actually, because I admit I don't know. But he reminisced shortly before his death, talking about the song that took him 15 minutes to write. And he claimed, by the way, to have written over 700 songs. But that song opened a lot of doors for me. A way to meet a lot of people who've been a joy to know and perform with. The song's been performed all over the world. Special for a kid from Billings. All right, so rest in peace, 82 years old in California, the passing of Chan Romero. But yeah, Bob Keane of Delphi Records, after Richie Valens passed, he was sure that he could turn Chan Romero into a household name. And maybe it's the first time you've heard of him. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And let's see what we got here. We've got Leah and Marcus Hook, who had her eye surgery. So that was today, wasn't it, Leah?
Yeah, that was today.
Wow, well, you're sounding good. How do you feel?
Well, first of all, welcome back. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
I feel okay. I was so nervous and so worried about the surgery that I was like, when they wheeled me into the surgical suite, I was hyperventilating.
Oh dear!
And when they gave me the Versed, they said, "Can you feel that?" I said, "I feel nothing, nothing." And usually Versed just knocks you out for
right.
a loop, you know.
Right. Right.
And they said, "Okay, give her another dose." They had to give me a double dose of Versed.
Oh geez! Oh geez!
That's how bad I was. And so, but then they gave me the Versed, and then they gave me propofol too. So
yeah.
then I was like, I wasn't out of it, but I was relaxed enough that they could do the surgery. So,
and they did.
And the surgery itself wasn't bad.
Right.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was annoying, but not bad.
And it was quick.
It was semi-quick. It took. I don't even know how long it took. Maybe 20 minutes.
Right. That's pretty standard, 15 to 20 minutes. So, and of course, a wave of relief once it was over. I assume they proclaimed it a success?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So when do you go back tomorrow?
Yeah, I have to go tomorrow morning to the doctor.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, I can't wait to hear a report after a couple of days of how you're seeing.
And we had our first Lyft ride, you know, because it was all the way in Wayne, and I don't know that Albert's truck would make it there and back.
Okay.
So we took the Lyft ride there and back.
All right.
And I almost couldn't get in the one that came for us because it was so high up. And usually, like when I get in Albert's truck, like he doesn't have a step on the side, so I have to use a steppy stool to get in his truck because it's so short. And so we didn't think to bring the steppy stool with us, and their SUV was so high, I almost couldn't get in.
Oh, that's funny. And I'm sure part of you were saying, "Oh, good, I can't get in, I don't have to go." But
right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, somehow I knew that. All right. Well, this is excellent. I can't wait. Like I say, I'm not going to ask you for a few days because sometimes it takes a little while for that eye to settle down. But in a couple of days, I want you to call and tell me how you're seeing.
Oh, no, I can see fine right now.
All right. You can?
Yeah. I don't have like a patch over.
No, I know that.
Like a,
I know that. But for many
people. A clear plastic bubble.
Right. But for many people, it takes a couple of days for the vision to even out where you're seeing as good as you want to.
Oh, no, I'm seeing fine.
Great. Well, then, there's a success.
I'm seeing great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm thrilled. Now, in June is the second eye, right?
Yeah, but next month I have to get my teeth out, and I'm going to have general anesthesia.
Yeah. Yeah. See, another thing to worry about.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. But I'm not going to worry about it till like, you know, the week before.
Right. But it'll be fine. And we'll talk a lot before then, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I know.
Well, that's great news. Thank you.
Good to hear you back on the air. I'm just so glad you're feeling better. Did you get the email I sent?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
I sent you a video thing with cats.
Oh, you did send me a video with cats. And, you know I saw it, and now I don't even... I've not been doing well. Now I don't even remember what it was, but yes, it was cats.
It was cute. Cats, like, loving each other.
Yes,
and
yes.
All feeding
right.
each other and stuff. And
yeah. Yeah.
It was cute.
Well, good. Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of the story, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, she did. It's not been easy. All right, so, but I do remember that I did watch a video of some sort. All right, so we're going to get to Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin on scams, and Sam in Gurney. He's got a request, a birthday request. I don't know if it's his or not. We'll find out. Dave in Iowa and Cindy in Norridge, and there'll be room for you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the first of Jimmy P's six-pack, Dear I Swear. Those are the Plants, 1957 on JNS. And that's George Jackson's group. It was their Baltimore quartet, and they were just wonderful. So we'll be playing the rest of his requests, and I've got some comments on some of them, too. So all that, but your call is more important than any of that. And Jim is in Richmond, Wisconsin. What's going on, Jim?
Hi. I'm so glad that you're back on the air, because I missed you.
Well, thank you.
And I hope you and John are doing well.
Thank you.
And I wanted to tell you about what happened to my sister, and also today's doctor's appointment for my eye.
Yeah.
And the great news from my grandson.
Okay.
Who lives in Miami. But I wanted to let you, my sister yesterday got a text message from a woman named Anna, and she lives in, you know, Skokie, Illinois, and I live in Richmond, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Hi, we would like to talk to you about selling your property and where I live."
Mm-hmm.
And she called me and she freaked out,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's going on? And then I started adding things up. My sister in that city is my beneficiary on my life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what the heck's going on here, that my house is not for sale.
Right.
And I just, you know, I told her, you know, it's just, you know,
ignore
scam.
It. Just ignore it. Right, right.
Right.
Absolutely ignore it. Do not reply. But it is chilling, because if the only connection is a life insurance policy, that's chilling. But there are so many sites online that will list your name and address and age and all that, and then it'll list your relatives as well. So it could have been...
I told her that.
Yeah, it could have been a simple web search rather than somebody who actually has secure database information.
Right, but how did she know? How did they know that she's my beneficiary?
Well, did they say that?
No.
Well, see, they just said right. They might not have said that. She might have been listed on one of these sites as a relative, a close relative, or a sister. You know, you'll see that, and so they just went
right.
for it. There's so many ways this can happen that I wouldn't waste any time worrying about it as long as mm-hmm. your sister knows to just ignore that.
And then she texted me back later and said that it happened on March 8th mm-hmm. and March 28th.
Right.
The same woman.
Right. Well,
you know?
Who knows if it's a woman and who knows if the person's in Skokie? It might be a scammer
right.
in Nairobi for all you know. But the
right.
the bottom line to it is that they'll be persistent because, you know, sadly, what they've discovered is that the law of averages, they're going to get a couple suckers. And you you just don't want to be one of them. So just never, ever, ever reply, no matter what they say.
That's what I told her.
Yeah.
Because my sister freaks out. If you tell her, you know, anything, she freaks out
right.
about it. You know?
Well, and
so
that's what right. That's what they're counting on. So you were explaining it's a mm-hmm. scam. Don't reply. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to let you know that I had my retina specialist today.
Okay, now hang on a minute. I want to hear all about that. So we're going to talk about it after the news. I don't want to give you short shrifts. So stay right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure, we'll hear about Jim, and we'll talk to hopefully you too coming up on WGN Radio.
Yeah.
I need you, well, Donna, I'd love you. Please stay in my heart. Oh, Donna,
please fly.
Oh, Donna. I never loved no one but you.
He's lying.
Please stay in my heart.
He told us the same thing.
Oh, let them talk.
Oh,
if they
sha-la-la.
Want to.
Oh,
WGN Radio, I'm Holly James, and yeah, Eugene Pitt and the Jive Five. Relatively recent, comparatively, that would be 1982 on Ambient Sound. And of course, that's a remake. Lenny Miles did the original in 1961. It was Luther Dixon who co-wrote it and produced it for Scepter. And between the two, I was more a fan of Lenny.
Probably the production, but that's the one that did it for me. But
Jive 5 version of A Worthwhile Choice, and that's the one that Jimmy P wanted to hear, so you got to hear both of them. He also chose the Nutmegs, Begging You Please, and there is a controversy on that, and that'll be our next bumper, and we'll explain that. And the Jive 5 features prominently in that, in fact, maybe entirely. All right, so with all that in mind, Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin, went to the retina specialist today, and what did you find out?
Hi. Went to the retina specialist today, and I was totally freaked out. I got another shot at Kenalog today.
Yeah.
And he looked at my eye, and I went 2 weeks ago to the glaucoma specialist, and he said there was swelling in your eye.
Okay.
And then I went to the retina specialist today, and he said there's no swelling in your eye. Your eye looks fine. And I said, my eyesight has not improved at all in the last, 3 months.
Right.
And he goes, to me, and I fell apart. He goes, we're not here to, in other words, we're here to save what you have now. And he gave me a shot at Kenalog, and he said, we're here to save what you have now. And I said, I thought we were trying to improve my vision. He said, no, we're trying to save what you have now, and we're hoping it's not going to get worse. And I just fell apart.
Sure.
You know.
Now, and they had not explained that way prior to this?
No, he would say, we're going to give you a shot. Okay. And to keep it up. And the glaucoma specialist says, your pressures are fine. Good. And, and my pressures have been fine.
Good.
And stuff like that. And I just fell apart.
Oh,
it was like, I thought all this time,
that you were
for
gonna
two
be,
and a half years,
that you were going to be getting better.
Improve my vision.
Right. Now, let me ask
and
you,
then,
in the last 2.5 years, has it gotten worse?
Yes, all the time.
Okay.
And I have, it's called diabetic macular edema.
Right. Well, that's
the
edema part
the
is
glaucoma.
The edema part is the swelling.
It's
not unusual that you go to the doctor and 2 weeks later you go to another doctor and they say there's no swelling because swelling can be temporal. It's not there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that part doesn't concern me. That's just crushing news.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought all this time I've been getting Eylea shots and Kenalog shots every 4 weeks for 2.5 years that it was going to improve my vision. And then he tells me, oh, no, we're trying to save you what you have left. And I just fell apart.
Of course you did. That's crushing on every level. Now, this is the kind of thing where you probably can and should seek other opinions, but I wonder if this is just a standard where this is absolutely the course of this and that's the way it is. Like, is there no way to get, and I don't know, obviously, but you have every reason to want another piece of advice there to find out.
And I went to the the Eye Institute of Wisconsin in Fredert, Wisconsin, and I went to her, and she put in another tube in my eye to improve my vision, and then she said, oh, I'm going out of town. I won't be back till June.
Oh, yeah, you told me about
her.
You told me about her. Yeah,
and,
oh, man.
Right. And then I stopped going there. I don't want nothing to do with them anymore because my brother is pushing me. He says, get an eye transplant.
Well,
said,
no.
Eye transplant eyes.
No.
You know?
That's not the answer, I don't believe.
Right.
Yeah, you're talking about cornea transplants, but I... Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't be the one to comment, but... But that's very concerning that you were working with somebody who hadn't leveled with you on that. Now, had you asked in the past?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Every time I go, is it going to get better? Is it going to get better? And it's all, we're just going to take care of what's happening now. We're just going to take care of happening now. And I've gone to this guy, actually, for almost 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, because I've had diabetic retinopathy.
Right.
I've had 5 laser surgeries in both eyes with like 700 pulses of laser in both eyes to stop the bleeding in my eyes. Mm-hmm. But there's no more bleeding in my eyes, you know.
Good.
So it just frustrates me because I don't have anyone to talk to, and I thank you for being there.
Oh, absolutely, I'm here. But it's just,
right.
To me, it's unconscionable that they were just kind of brushing it off when you asked before.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be some resources on this where you can find out more information, because you're not the only diabetic facing this. And so there
right.
should be a lot you can learn online. I'll start looking as well and see.
I've lost the vision in my right eye already.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and your left and your left eye.
That's all I have.
And how is it right
now? Right. The other day, I tried to cut the lawn. I couldn't even see the lawn.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know where I cut and what I didn't cut.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's crushing. Believe me, it's absolutely crushing. I wish I had a magic wand, but you definitely need somebody to talk to, and you need some resources. You shouldn't be left alone like that with no information and that type of a diagnosis.
Right. And you know, so that's the bad news, but I have tremendous good news.
Okay.
My son and my daughter-in-law
uh-huh.
are bringing my grandson up north here.
Oh, good.
On May 10th.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to finally meet my first grandson. You know what I mean? The other
yes.
two?
Yes, I
haven't
know.
Met.
Right.
But they're coming up, and I'm going to meet them on May 10th in Janesville, because my daughter-in-law has a 95-year-old grandfather
uh-huh.
who's, you know, dying to see
yeah.
his grandson. So
well, that's
they're
wonderful.
Coming up, and they're going to meet me in Janesville for lunch. And I'll finally get to see my first grandchild.
That's wonderful. And concentrate on that, because that'll be just wonderful. But I'm going to look around
right.
to see what I can see for some resources, and if there's anybody who might be obviously good to talk to. But in the meantime, think about the good things, and May 10th is not far away.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, let me know how it goes.
Right. And here's the kicker of the whole thing. My grandson was born on March 2nd, and March 2nd turns out to be Dr. Seuss's 120th birthday.
Wow.
So I sent them 6 Dr. Seuss books.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Good. That is
you
good
know?
News, and I can't wait to hear about the meeting.
Right.
All right.
And I thank you.
Sure thing.
Because there's no one else I can talk to.
Well, I'm so glad you called, Jim, and call anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. It's crushing, and especially when you're left with no resources. So my heart goes out to Jim. All right, so 888-876-5593. We go to Sam and Gurney. All right, Sam, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. I'm so grateful to talk to you. My heart is, I listened to the last call.
Yeah.
I just want to let the last guy know that my heart is with him. I'm praying for him. And my heart, seriously, dude, I don't know who you are other than what I heard on the conversation, but I will be praying for you. I love you and your grandchildren and your family, and I will be praying for you diligently, because I think you're a wonderful man. And my heart is with you.
Well, thank you.
But
for that.
Raleigh, I was calling because my niece Madeline gave birth on April the 8th to a little boy by the name of Cooper.
Uh huh.
And he passed away an hour after his birth.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and
that's crushing. Now, did she know that there was problems with the delivery and the pregnancy?
She did. They all knew. We all knew that there were possibilities, and we prayed for him diligently, and we were all hoping for the best. But that wasn't what God had in mind.
Exactly.
And our mind is that God took him up and said, "Hey, you know, this world is a tough place. So, you know, I'm gonna bring you up right now, so you don't have to go through all this crap." But anyway. I was calling to ask you, today is her birthday, Madeline's birthday, and I just want to ask you if you'll please do a happy birthday for Madeline. That's his mother.
And, oh, absolutely. Any song in particular you'd like me to play?
Well, I'd like happy birthday for her, but any version you want to do is great. But I just want to ask you if you'll delay it by a few minutes so when I get off the phone I can call her and ask her to listen to it.
Oh, sure.
But she's a beautiful mother. She loved her son. She nurtured her baby in her womb. And my nephew, Ryan, they nurtured that baby and they had hope for the best. And everybody thought that the possibilities would be that he might have survived it. But unfortunately, little Cooper did not make it. And
well, you know, about that, sometimes, you know, when we say people are in better places, or in this case, it's an infant, but sometimes the Lord does know best. And, you know,
I agree.
You really have to kind of take that to heart, because there are so many people who have such tough lives here that for whatever reason, the Lord said, "Cooper, we're giving you a break."
Yep, and I do agree with that, Raleigh, and I thank you. And I but like I said,
all right. So what I'm gonna
happy birthday for Madeline. And the short bit, when I get off the phone with you, if you'll leave a little gap so I can contact her to let you know you might do it.
Well, how about if I
do it? I will copy.
All right, how about if I do this? I've got a break coming up, but that'll be too short. But then the news comes up at the bottom of the hour, and I'll play it the first song coming out of the news. So it'd probably be about 25 to the hour, and I'll play it coming right out of the news.
All
right.
I don't know you're going to do it.
And I already picked out the song, so you will hear it.
Thank you so much, Raleigh. God bless
you.
Okay,
sure thing. Thanks. Appreciate it, Sam. All right, so from Sam to Madeline, and happy birthday, you betcha. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Begging you, begging you, begging you, please. Darling, you're lovely as can be. Just as pretty.
James, that's Begging You Please. That was Jimmy P's request. And if you were listening last night, I said, "Which version did you want?" He said, "The Nutmegs," and I smiled. And the reason I smiled is because I think you just heard a non-existent record. Let me explain. The Jive 5 did Begging You Please. It was the flip side in 1962 on Beltone of What Time Is It? And here it is.
Begging you, begging you, begging you, please. I never thought you
are saying to yourself, that's the same record. You've come to the same conclusion I have. So, since we know for a fact that Begging You Please is the flip side of What Time Is It, 1962 on Beltone, it's how the heck did the Nutmegs get into this? Because you can't find a single of that anywhere. But if you look, eventually you find this compilation. It's a digital compilation of the Nutmegs Meet the Jive 5 and Volume 2. And sure enough, we've got Begging You Please, and I do not think the Nutmegs did an individual song on that. I think it was the Jive 5 in both cases. But I certainly am ready to be educated if you know differently. Yeah, I've looked. In fact, you know, I should have done show prep before the show, but for over an hour, I sat here looking. Does anybody have any instance of Begging You Please by the Nutmegs, either as an album cut on one of their original albums or as a 45? And I couldn't find it. And I think suspiciously when you listen to the two that are the same damn record, that it's the Jive 5. And it's, like I say, 1962 on Beltone, the flip side of What Time Is It? And we were going to get to Lee Andrews and the Hearts next, but we'll delay that and we'll get to the Happy Birthday song right after the news right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, yeah, the Toon Weavers, 1957 on Checker. That's Margot Sylvia sounding as good as ever. And that's a happy, happy birthday. I realize the song wasn't too happy, but nonetheless, Sam just said, got to get happy birthday in the title. So, Madeline, happy birthday. I'm sure you were doing better than the Toon Weavers, and I hope it was a terrific day. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we have Karen in Chicago who's got some advice for Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin. So, all right, Karen.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I believe Jim said he's going to Janesville.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. May 10th.
The State School for the Blind is located on State Street in Janesville. Now, they've changed the name of it. When I went there, it was called Wisconsin School for the Visually Handicapped.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, like everything else, they've changed the name. There is also the Wisconsin Council of the Blind. I don't know. I think they're based in Madison, but I'm not sure. There is National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind also have chapters in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I don't know their locations because I've lived in Chicago since 77 and I'm really out of touch for any of that.
Well, but no, those
facilities
sure.
available.
Those are good suggestions. The other thing is some of the diabetic organizations, because when you're looking at diabetic macular edema, it absolutely is secondary to a blood sugar control issue. So I would assume that the diabetic groups have information as well. And there's two types, and I'm assuming that in Jim's case, it's central. I didn't ask him, but regardless, it evolves over time. And at the heart of it is blood sugar control. It's not the kind of thing that occurs on its own. So I bet you that the Diabetic Association or other groups might have some information as well.
Yeah, you know, my nephew goes to Friedrich Hospital, and he just swears by them. I'm kind of surprised that he had such bad luck with that.
Well, it can be, you know, a hospital is only as good as the individual provider you're seeing. So when
That's true. When you have somebody
who's seeing you and says, oh, yeah, I'm going till June, and just kind of leaves you hanging, it's like you'd think that that person would have made arrangements for other providers in the interim.
Yeah, you know, I heard you were out of commission. Well, I was too.
Oh.
I had surgery for skin cancer, which turned out to be worse than we thought it was. And I wound up having plastic surgery to rebuild my nose.
Oh, geez.
Sounds crazy, but it's true. And I wound up for about 2 weeks, maybe a little over that, going to a terrible rehab center.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Which caused me to write, I took a page out of Johnny D's book, and I heard that lady that criticized him so bad, so I decided that not tonight, because I don't have it with me, I'd have to get my act together and find it. I wrote a parody to a song for people who have arthritis, and it's called Getting Up Is Hard to Do.
I love it already.
I will read it. I'm not going to do it tonight.
No, but when
I
you do, I can't wait to hear it. Yes, I'm sure it'll be Neil Sedaka at its finest.
And please, could I please ask Johnny D if he could critique it for me? I love Johnny D's songs, and I don't care when you sing without an accompaniment, that's tough. And I felt she was just so awfully critical, and I like him. I'm his fan.
Well, good. He's listening, so we'll talk to him next, and he'll remember your name, Karen, and I'll make sure you're in another song coming up.
And when you ask him if he critique my song, if I call him.
Oh, okay. Well,
I want him to critique it, because I took a page out of his book.
All right.
He gave me the idea. I was so bored in rehab, I had to do something.
Well, call tomorrow night. Call tomorrow night and sing it.
I can't sing, but I can read it.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
I can't sing myself.
All right. Well, you can read it.
Okay, maybe Johnny will sing it for me.
There you are. Thanks, I appreciate
it. Okay, not a word.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much, and keep up the good work, Raleigh.
Good to hear from you, Karen. All right, so 888-876-5593. And so let's go to Johnny D, since he was the star of the last call. So how's it going, Johnny D?
That's going pretty good, Raleigh. How about that for a lead-in?
Exactly, exactly. So you got to remember Karen for one of your next missives.
Oh, Karen, she's top of the list now.
All right.
And, Liz, I got to be quiet because, speaking of grandsons and everything, one of mine's sleeping with his gammy in the other room right now, Benjamin.
Yeah. Becky will kill you if you wake them up.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't wake Benjamin up. She'll get mad.
I don't blame her.
But, no, let me say this, too, Raleigh, before I get on to my song request, as I called. You know, I remember you once saying, I mentioned the Bill Cunningham's, that all he does is talk. And you said, you agree, you know, you said, yeah, you know, we don't build nothing. I mean, you do a lot more than just talk and entertain people. You listen to people and you comfort them. And that's pretty good. You know, that's a legacy there.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot more than just talk and entertain and get sick. But
I do that with alarming regularity, yes.
You're good at that.
Yeah, I'm an expert, yes.
But anyhow, boy, Karen, all right. Yeah, I got to hear this, whatever it is she's doing.
Well, it's a parody to Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, only it's an arthritis song, Getting Up Is Hard to Do.
Yeah, let me hear the lyrics to that. Maybe I could do it. But then on the other hand, some folks, you know, in my song requests, we're going to go specifically out to one of your listeners. I hope she's listening. And what I wanted to request was, number one, you dropped a bomb on me.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then the second one I want to request for this particular listener is Payback by James Brown.
All right.
And that's all I get to say, Raleigh.
All right. Very good. Well, good to hear from you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So, we'll get those on to tomorrow night. Payback, and you dropped a bomb on me. All right. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, the music world is safe from my efforts. That is always the case. And, Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin has a request. All right, Jim, what do you want to hear?
Hi. First off, what was, I'm sorry to call you back, but what was that place in Janesville that lady had mentioned?
Okay, well, it's the State School for the Blind on State Street. It might not be called that anymore, but it's easy to find, and I'll find it online for you. And they might have some resources.
Because I went to the Wisconsin Blind and Visually Impaired Institute several months ago, and the guy came over to my house, and they put stickers on my microwave for 2, 5, and 8,
good,
and then start. And that's about all he did for me. And I said to them, they have, scanners that can scan a page. Like when I get my mail, I can't read my mail. I have to go to my iPhone and put it on maximum magnification just to read 3 letters.
No, there are scanners.
They have scanners.
Yeah, they do have scanners. I looked it up. It's the Wisconsin Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Janesville.
Right.
So that's what
and,
it is.
Wisconsin
Center for the
and,
Blind and Visually Impaired.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. And because the one that I called, like, he just came out. And I said, I know there's scanners, you know, that can scan the whole page and read it to you.
Yeah.
And I found out, listening to WGN and John Williams' show, that they cost $4,500. And he goes, well, that's not going to help you because they're not going to pay, you know, for the scanners.
Well, there may be something, you know, between here and there that you can get. And there may be that, you know, that's one of the challenges, is to find out and kind of marshal all the resources and everything's available from every source. Because there may be things, maybe it's not that, but other things that can be a great help, which you could get.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when I get my mail.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm so damn emotional. I can't handle it.
Oh, but, I understand. No, it's horrible.
I have an iPhone, and I put it on magnifier.
Right.
And I go to the maximum, and that's how I read my mail.
Right.
But it's 3 words at a time.
Right, absolutely. So, it's tiring, it's time-consuming, and it's frustrating. So believe me, I understand that.
I have a friend of mine who takes me everywhere. And if I need her to, if I need her to read something, she'll read it for me.
Right.
And then my brother takes me everywhere, and he lives an hour away. But
well, thank God for them.
I'm just so upset. But
keeps me
going is Toby Keith's "Don't Let the Old Man In."
Yeah, there you are.
If you can play that, I would love it.
I will do that.
And I thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye.
Good. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
let the old man in. I won't live me some more. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. And I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's withered and worn. Ask yourself, how would you be if you didn't know the day? Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast each sundown with wine. Don't let the old man in.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Toby Keith. And he sounds a little raspy because he was sick when he sang it. He sent the demo to a Clint Eastwood, who liked it enough to put it in the Mule. And it was Clint Eastwood who was the impetus for that, because Keith had met him while working on the Mule. And he said, "You're 88 years old. How do you do it?" And he said, "Well, I get up each day and I don't let the old man in." And there you have it. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we've got, let's see, Brian in Jefferson City. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I just want to reflect on the gentleman who's losing his vision. I'm one of your listeners that's blind, and I've had sight problems since birth. No, is he from, you said, Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin. And by the way, you're mentioning sight problems since birth. You've kind of got it easier, and you probably know that.
Yeah.
And,
oh, sure, sure.
You know,
compared to...
Yeah, people who have been someone, seeing, yeah, their whole life, they're now in an advanced age, and suddenly they can't. That's
it's a rough adjustment when you've had sight all your life, and then you lose it real quick. So, but there are... Most likely, and I'll do some checking on this on Google, probably in Wisconsin, the state agency for the blind could help him. They would evaluate what needs services he needs and do an evaluation for, like, late daily living skills.
Well, I know he had somebody do that, but I don't know if it was the state agency. But I think, I think if all of us together kind of try to look for some resources, we'll marshal a list, and from organizations about sight and organizations about diabetes. Between the two, hopefully, we'll come up with enough that he's got some resources, because it sounds like he needs them.
Yeah, and I do know both organizations, like Wisconsin Council of the Blind, American Council of the Blind, and the Federation of the Blind, would be good resources. And they have special interest groups within them that deal with diabetes.
I hate to do this, but you have ended the hour. But yes, get back to me with that, and we will talk soon.
You bet. Thanks,
Raleigh. Okay, thanks. All right, and after the news, we'll talk to Tom. He's a first-time caller. Hang on, Tom. Don't go away. And we got another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
Come back, baby, come back. You know I love you, pretty baby. Baby, come back to me. I love no one but you. Baby, come back to me. Although I played
the part of a sentimental fool,
Lives and the Hearts, Baby Come Back, 1954 on Rainbow. All right, so that's one of Jimmy P's six-pack, and the final one is coming up, and that's another conversation I want to have with him about the final one, but we'll get to that. In the meantime, we got Tom, a first-time caller in Vernon Hills. Thanks for waiting, and welcome to WGN.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Yeah, it is very first-time caller, and
thank you.
I listen to your show frequently, and tonight I was very impressed with the way you treated, I think his name is Jim.
Jim, yeah.
In terms of his vision issue, and
yeah.
And I had a couple of ideas that maybe they've been presented, but I wanted to offer.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, my brother used to read for the blind.
Mm-hmm.
This was back in the 1970s and 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that for, I think, one or two people, and he did it for quite a few years. And I don't know how he got started in it as far as, you know, volunteering, but so I happen to think, in my church I volunteer quite a bit, and I ran into a person who does that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, and it may not be that these people go through a state agency or a organization that offers, you know, help to the vision impaired,
mm-hmm.
But maybe through a church or some other organization.
Absolutely. You're right.
And because that came to me when I heard his difficulty in doing things like simply reading his mail.
Right.
So if he could find someone who could do that,
that'd be great.
Who maybe lived nearby and, you know, was trustworthy and everything and wanted to help,
sure.
Maybe that would be a one source, one
right.
help.
No, it's good because his brother's an hour away, so if somebody in the neighborhood could do that, that's great. Human help is always good. But at this point, there are so many things available that will almost, quote-unquote, do it for you, but very often the cost is out of reach. But I think
yes.
that there might be, who knows, some grants, some things, some ways to get, maybe it's not top of the line, whatever, but something that will be very efficient and helpful.
And another thought came to me is that it doesn't matter what faith he's with, but Catholic Charities.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And there's one in Lake County that I had been volunteering for, and there's one in Chicago. Might be a good place to at least look into. I'm not familiar with all their services, but they're pretty wide encompassing as far as offering help and resources.
Yeah, and if they don't, they're a great resource for they may know who does. Now, I know the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has Catholic Charities as an agency that's available, and I think they've got offices in Racine and Milwaukee. So,
oh yeah, he's from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, but that's all right. That's no problem. There's Madison has certainly a charitable arm right there, and I would say that's a great idea. And again, they might not be able to directly help, but if they can't, they probably have a list of who might.
Yeah, I was thinking of mainly of resources instead of just, you know, offering direct help.
Right. And I'll bet you, yeah, and Catholic Charities is in virtually every, you know, city of any size in Wisconsin and probably every other state too. So if he just called a local Catholic church, they could tell him where it was.
Yeah, and that's basically all I had, but it's just wonderful the things you do on your show.
Well, I'm just thrilled that you called, because it's all about talking to all of you, so I hope you will do it again.
Okay, I'll try.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Tom. All right,
okay.
So 888-876-5593. Now, I've noticed some of our lines that have nothing to do with this radio show have been ringing, and we've got blocks of toll-free numbers and all that. So let me give out the right toll-free number in case you're getting other answers that aren't this show, and that would be 888-876-5593. So 888-876-5593. So if you've been dialing and going crazy saying that's not the radio show, well, this will help you. Now, if it's busy, and it very well may be, especially for right now, then you call back. So when you hear somebody hanging up, as we just did, you call in, although that line's already been grabbed. Yeah, where were you guys last night when I was talking to myself for 3 hours? All right, so 888-876-5593. And Dave in Iowa, are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, that's okay. So the question was it a mistake for John Fogerty of the Creedence Clearwater Revival, who wrote all the tunes that were hits, was it his mistake to trade, to give up the rights, the publishing rights, in exchange for getting out of his contract with Fantasy Records?
That's always a big question. Now, from what I understand, after 50 years, he reacquired them. I don't know if you're aware of that. But last year he got the rights back.
I will.
But it took him 50 years.
American rights.
Right. Yeah. I would assume, and I never read the document he signed, you know, giving them away. But I assume that he gave away his publishing, but not his writing. So he was still getting half the royalties.
Oh.
You see. There's two sets of royalties. There's a writer's royalties and a publisher's royalty. And back in the day when I was doing this, it's very different now, and I can't really speak to the present, but I can tell you what it was like prior to the copyright revision and all that. You got 2 cents mm-hmm. per selection per side, and the publisher would be getting half and the writer would be getting half. Well, actually, they'd be getting both. So consequently, if you have the publishing as well as the writing, you're going to get twice the money. But if you have the writing, you're still going to get 2 cents per selection per side. So what that means is you can write a lousy song that is on a big hit album and you're going to make a fortune because you're on it. You know, write a flip side, you're on it. And if you have publishing and writing, you've got the whole ball game. Now, why don't all artists have publishing? Well, frankly, because a good publisher can do things for you that you couldn't do on your own. For instance, you know, maybe get your songs in a movie or whatever, on a TV commercial, or place them. You know, those are all the jobs of the publisher. So there might be a reason where you're saying I'm using especially an established publisher, you know, like in Nashville, maybe you're going to Tree or you're going to Acuff Rose because of all their contacts. Well, in the case of Fogerty, so he gave up his publishing rights. I think Zaints was the guy who had Fantasy at the time. But yes, 50 years ago, I can't believe I pulled that name out of a hat. But in any event, I would assume that he did not sign away his writing rights.
Well, so. Maybe this would help, but because he was sued by the record company for plagiarizing one of his songs that he had given up. So does that mean that he had actually had no interest?
No, see, plagiarized it in what way? He recorded a song he gave up? Anyone, once a song has
He wrote another song that was similar to a previous song that he had given up.
Okay.
So,
in
other words, he had given up something, but I don't know what it is. I said publishing rights, and I could have been wrong about that.
No, I think it is public, but I think the song in question was Run Through the Jungle, and he released something else, Old Man Down the Road or something, and that went to the Supreme Court, as I recall, and Fogerty won.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, this was contentious, and as I say, the guy's name was Zaints. He's dead now, I'm sure. But at the time, Fogerty refused to do any CCR songs live because he didn't want Zaints to get the royalties from that. And so, it was Dylan, I think, who caused him to, you know, rethink that. And so that's the deal. Now, of course, it's also an issue because most of what he wrote was pre the copyright revision. So technically that would have sunset at 28 plus 28, 56 years. But it didn't work out that way for him. The rights reverted. So that was the deal there. But yeah, there's a Supreme Court decision. I'll have to look that up sometime. But I know there is a Supreme Court decision involving John Fogerty.
Yeah, and so he had his feud involved the record company, his other three, and including his brother. He was his brother, Tom, took the side of the record company against John Fogerty, which was kind of hard to understand.
Well, it is, and I don't have any of the backstory on this because I know, you know, other than what I've read and like I know it was a court decision, but did his brother,
his first mistake was,
by the way, did his brother write any of it, or was he
no?
Okay, so
no,
we're getting into performance rights and things of the it's always, you know, like a layer cake, and there's 17 layers, so
Yeah. And so his first mistake was signing a contract which only gave him 5%.
Right.
And I don't know how they divided. Can you tell me how they would, how those four people would divide that 5%?
That part wouldn't be that wouldn't be the label's determination. That would be if you've got five members of a group and they're going to divide it. That's up to the group to determine and their management. That won't be that's not statutory. The only thing that the record company would have to do is pay whatever entity was the group. Then how it fell down from there would not be statutory.
But so, I understand that 5% was really low, and 10% was more of a normal,
you know,
contract.
Yeah, let me tell you, the percentages almost become irrelevant, and I'll tell you from the beginning of
really
yes, because firstly you're assuming there's a legitimate accounting, and certainly with yeah, with many of the independent labels like you know, Moish Levy, he'd be more likely to dangle an artist out the window in New York than he would pay him. But you got a few things. If you look at these contracts, and the majors do this, not just the independents, but the majors, all the big labels, they'll write a contract, and of course the artist knows nothing about contract law or any of this. And what it'll say is that the royalties are paid after the expenses are recouped. So we're talking about the expenses for recording it and promoting it, all right? Well, now, but it's not just per song. So let's say I'm signed to Columbia Records, all right? And I make an album with them, and it just tubes, all right? Now I make another album with them, and it just tubes. I make a third album, and it's a big hit. Well, guess what? I'm not going to get any money until they recoup the first album, the second album, everything they put into anything of me. I don't get any money before that. The chances are good, and I mentioned a record like that, a label like that, because they're less likely to play with the figures than, you know, some of the independents were. But labels were notorious for never paying any royalties. Not big ones. I'm not talking about Columbia. I'm not talking about Atlantic. But I am talking about the independent labels, and the theory was, because remember, originally rock and roll and R&B soul were kids. You know, these were young kids who were going out and performing this. And so the owners, who very often were independent businessmen, they were thinking, well, hell, they're more likely to get girls. They're getting more money for their appearances. What else do they want? They think they want me to pay them too?
Well, we know that they got we know that they got money from the record company, because they lost it in the offshore investments, the Bahamas or Cayman Islands.
Yeah, no.
Their offshore bank went bankrupt, and they lost everything they had in it.
Well, you know, that serves you right for deciding you're going to put your money offshore. But, in terms of, yes, they sold enough records that, yes, they obviously made some royalties, no doubt about that. But was it an accurate accounting? You know, I wouldn't put money on that.
What do you think that Proud Mary brought in for John Fogerty and Company?
Well, it's not only John Fogerty and Company. Remember, Proud Mary, and this is wonderful when this happens, is one of those songs that was recorded by a lot of people. Ike and Tina Turner had a big hit.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And everybody that recorded it and then paid, you know, that they had to pay royalties on.
Right, right. Well, they were, yeah, you know, they were paying the standard artist and publishing royalties, of course. And then
it wouldn't be a billion, would it?
No,
I mean,
probably no. Not. Then the other thing that, if you were really asking me that question, you were saying, "Hey, I want you to delve into what's going to be the return on that." The first place I'm going to go is also, was it used in commercials? Was it used television and movies? Was there some ancillary use? Then I want to deal with live performance. Performances. You know, there's so many different ways I'm going to go for this. So I wouldn't begin to guess. But I mean, everybody has sung that song, including, you know, Sonny Charles and the Checkmate Limited. You know, who did Black Pearl?
One song that gets a lot of airplay is the Steppenwolf's "Head Out on the Highway."
Okay.
I don't know what the name of it is, but
probably "Born to Be Wild."
So. Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to know what they made off that.
Well, my favorite version of that was back when they used to have the easy listening stations, and I was actually in an elevator. Kind of funny because we always called it elevator music, and heard "Born to Be Wild" with strings, and I thought, oh man, now I've heard it all.
That's funny.
Absolutely. Yeah, so sure, there can be a lot of money, but. Again, who's the publisher, and also how active are they at promoting it? You know, if we're talking about anything that was on Cameo Parkway, when Alan B. Klein got it, he stopped any versions of this from getting out. I mean, he just clamped down and did nothing. Now, there's a lot of reasons he's dead. I guess I can speculate, but there's a lot of reasons we can say, but the producers always comes to mind for me. But I don't know that for a fact, of course, but what I do know...
What are you talking about?
Cameo Parkway was everybody from Bobby Rydell. Hang on a minute, because I'm going to blow a commercial break and the news. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
All right.
All right, we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. Those are the Jesters. Yes, a mainstay of Winley Records, 1957, and So Strange. And I would say that was the first big distribution of that song, but it wasn't the first recording of that song. And yes, it was Jimmy P who requested that. And John Hewitt said, I think you play that, but not that version. I said, yeah, boy, that's right. All right. Actually, So Strange was a cover, but it was a cover of a song that was never released. And that was the Hummers. And the Hummers were in Old Town in 1956, High Weiss's label. And that was Arthur Cryer and Bobby Spencer and Harold and Floyd were the others. But anyway, the Hummers did a wonderful version of it. And I do not know why High Weiss did not release it on Old Town. But Paul Winley heard it and said, oh, the Jesters could do that. But if you're wondering how it sounded when the Hummers did it, I thought, much superior version from 1956.
So strange, walking alone. So strange, when I call you, darling. So strange. Trying to get along with you. so strange, I said, trying to get along with you.
And I have no idea why the Hummers wasn't released until decades later. We can thank CDs for people cleaning out their vaults and finding things that they had recorded but not released. And sometimes there was a reason they weren't released, and other times they were great records. And Paul Winley was an interesting guy. He was a songwriter. He actually, his brother was in the Clovers, and he wrote some stuff for them and Ruth Brown. He was working for Atlantic for a while, and he went out and formed his own label in 1956, Winley. And it was mostly the Paragons and the Jesters, hence the compilation The Paragons Meet the Jesters, and the cover was like they were two rival gangs or something. But it's certainly not the only thing that Paul Winley did. He was the first to record Dave Baby Cortez, and when Little Anthony was part of the DuPonts, before Little Anthony and the Imperials, U was on Winley. And then, of course, the Jesters, who were in junior high at the time. Why not, right? And So Strange. And so I think So Strange might have been a B-side. But again, somewhere along the way, someone heard the Hummers version. You know, it didn't happen by magic. All right, so we're talking to Dave in Iowa. And so I brought up the topic of Cameo Parkway. Are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, well, Cameo...
I noticed the songs you're playing are in 6/8 time, like a lot of those, you know.
Yeah, well,
I never noticed that before, but
yeah, a lot of that doo-wop is. That's Jimmy P requested some doo-wop stuff, so that's what we did. And I've got one more to play for him. But in any event, Cameo Parkway was a great little label in the late 50s and through the early 60s. Really, really good. The Orlons and Dee Dee Sharp, Chubby Checker. You know, we could go on. The Dovells. They were just a wonderful little label. Well, around mid-60s, Bernie Lowe, who owned it along with Cal Mann and Dave Apple, decided they were selling it. And so ultimately, it wound up in Alan B. Klein's hands. And Alan B. Klein, people remember him because some say he broke up the Beatles. Well, not exactly, but, you know, he managed the Rolling Stones and all. He was a lawyer. In any event, he had Cameo Parkway. And during his reign, Cameo Parkway refused to negotiate sync rights. Now, sync rights are the rights you pay when you want to use a song in a movie or a television commercial or, you know, a TV show. That's all sync rights. And that can be a big hunk of change. And, you know, I mean, when you've got everything from, you know, give me gravy on my mashed potatoes, you can imagine what commercials would have wanted to use that, not to mention, you know. Of course, the twist was different because Chubby Checker didn't write it. That was Hank Ballard. But anyway, there were several records that were, but he refused, absolutely refused. And so everybody...
Why?
Well, see, that nobody knows for sure. But I have my theory. And I ran it by one of his descendants, actually, who wouldn't have had a reason to know. But I think, I'm just guessing, if you have anybody who refuses to further their company, who refuses to make money, who refuses to license when, and by the way, the artists were just crying over this, the Bobby Rydells of the world, they didn't get a dime at a time when they would have made some money, right? Well, what if you bought the company and think of the movie The Producers? Maybe you sold more shares than shares exist. Maybe if you have a hit, you couldn't pay off all the Beckers.
Well,
I don't know. I absolutely don't know. Believe me, I have no inside track.
Oh, is it a stock company?
Well, of course. So, of course. And so, again, I have no insight whatsoever. But that's the only thing that ever fit in my mind to make sense, that it was that type of a producer scheme.
So the stock was traded on the exchange, like the New York Stock Exchange?
I don't know what he... Abco, I'd have to find out what he traded it on. I never bothered to look at that. But but Cameo Parkway, and I think it was probably under Abco at the time, Alan B. Klein Company.
But I think to sell short, it would have to be a publicly held company.
You can trade over the counter, and I would assume that's what he did. I know there are copies of Abco stock certificates, but that's later. The ones that I've seen of that are much later. But, okay, I just looked this up while we're speaking, and this is from September 9th, 1968, SEC orders. Okay, well, SEC orders trading in Cameo Parkway to resume. So they allowed, after it was suspended, they allowed it to resume. So apparently there was a ban in the stock trading. So it did, but over-the-counter trading may be resumed. Ooh, we just lost you. Sorry about that. September 16th. And the American Stock Exchange has determined not to allow resumption of exchange trading therein. So they were delisted. So American Stock Exchange, there you go. Always interesting to see what's online. So here we have the commission action followed the issuance by Cameo of a public release as well as a proxy statement in connection with a meeting of Cameo stockholders called to vote upon the proposed acquisition of the assets and the assumption of liabilities of Allen Klein and Company in return for 797,000 shares. The commission cost investment. Okay. So you can read about that. So yeah, was it publicly traded? Yes, and then it wasn't. All right. So you can read the. That's interesting. The SEC News Digest for September 9th, 1968. Should you be interested in such things? 888-876-5593. Nice to talk to Dave. I'm sorry his phone gave out. Well, he was on hold a long time. So, all right. So I got a lot of people to get to and not a lot of time to get there. So we will pick it up right here in moments on WGN Radio.
Time marches on. On marches time. Ding dong.
Well, time. It make you change your mind. It make you laugh, make you cry. It make you almost die. Well, time. It makes the young man old. It makes the old man bold. Not one run cold.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that concludes Jimmy P's Six Pack the Dells. It's a flip side. 1957 on VJ. Time makes you change. A wonderful song. All right, so we got through them, and they were all wonderful. I hope he heard the Hummers, because I do think that's a better version than the Jesters. And like I say, maybe he can look further into the Nutmegs, which I think it's non-existent. That was the Jive 5, begging you please. So, as far as Don't Believe in Donna, I'll default to him. If he wants the Jive 5 version, okay. But in this house, Lenny Miles is our favorite. Because of the production. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Jackie, and Kankakee, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh.
Thanks for waiting.
I heard that gentleman that was having problems with his eyes, and I've been having the same problems where I lost my driver's license, and you got to just wait for someone to come and take you to the store. It's rough. You knock things over.
Yeah.
And anyway, I have a... there is an app you can get to help read your mail. It's called Lookout, and it's free. You can install it on your smartphone. I have it myself. You touch the thing, and it'll read it out to you.
Okay.
And there's a phone number. There's a phone number I have where someone like that can call and install that. They could give you the information if you want this phone number.
Sure.
Okay, it's 800. 323-4238, and they will help you, and they helped me to install it. It's completely free.
That's great. Lookout, 800-323-4238.
Correct.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And there's all kinds of workshops they can help you with, and all of this stuff is free. And I think it's on the east side of Chicago.
Okay.
But it's stationed out of Wisconsin.
Good. Good. That's a wonderful suggestion. Thank you.
I sure hope that helps.
Oh, I think it will. And thank you for waiting. That's great.
Okay, then.
Appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Oh, well, Jimmy P was just calling back, but I guess he talked to John. All right, well, with that in mind, let's see. I've got, the math will not work. We'll try to get to everybody quickly. And, let's see. Stephanie and Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi there. I will make this really quick. I really recommend Jim, one of the first places he go to, Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I have used them, been involved with them for many, many years, but they have really evolved. They have a top-notch staff. You go in there, and they have great services. But I would highly recommend that Jim work with the assistive technology person. I have an iPhone. I have different apps that are totally free that will do all kinds of things, including read things to you, read documents, read short script, so on and so on.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, they're awesome.
Great.
So
exactly what he needs, because that's what I was saying. There may be a lot more free resources than he realizes. Good deal. Thanks for waiting, Stephanie, and thanks for calling.
Absolutely.
All right. So there you go. Now, it'll be Carol, who is the world's best show prep person, who will compile a list, but we'll have it, and I'll try to make some of it available online. Valerie in Warrenville, you're going to close it out. We got about a minute.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a friend here in my community that has fallen to dementia.
Okay.
So I need everyone's prayers.
Absolutely.
PW.
Absolutely.
And PW's family.
Okay.
I'm still reeling from it.
Let me ask you, that's the diagnosis, but how far along is this person?
She's forgotten a lot.
All right, so then this is not recent. The diagnosis maybe, but this is something that's been coming on for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. It's tough.
And
very tough.
Weren't active caregivers in such a way that it was caught soon enough. And she's on medicine that complicated things, and her nutrition complicated things. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So prayers for her, for PW, and for her family.
All right, TW and her family. And that will be it. You have ended
PW and, yeah.
Okay, so
thank
T
you.
Like Tom, W like W. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, so.
PW as in Patrick Harris.
Oh, PW, no. All right. All right.
PW, yeah.
Okay.
PW.
Okay. So there you have it. We got another show tomorrow night for 3 big hours, 21 hours from now. So I hope that Cindy and Norwich, James on the South Side, and everybody else will call me tomorrow night. Now, until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Do it again soon, maybe tomorrow night, right here on WGN Radio.